Starting school ends at 10:45.
Okay.
So you've got about 33 minutes in.
All right, well, I wanted to use the PowerPoint again, and I'm actually thinking that maybe I'll use it in the next service. I like my, I like to show visuals, and it helps maybe stick a little bit better. It's good to see everybody. It's so good to be here. So good. Samuel was calling me on the way home last night. He said, I don't think I've ever been with a group of people that I felt so much at home with and felt so much love.
We love it.
Yeah. And I feel that too. Thank you. It's so wonderful. Well, I'm going to hop right in. I want to talk about one of my favorite subjects. It's something that early on in the ministry, I did a one-day conference on mentoring and discipleship. I wasn't sure exactly how it would go, but it was wonderful. We put on a second one and then a third one, and we're getting ready to put one on, possibly, not for sure yet, but in 2020, making disciples. And I'm thinking along the lines of making disciples Jesus style. Now, how is his style different than our style, or our style in general? And so I want you to start thinking a little bit. I want to start out with a couple questions. And as you think over your life, I'd like for you to think about who influenced you the most. Was there one particular person, and I want to open it up, I want you to talk to me. Was there one particular person, maybe a pastor, maybe your parent, although I don't think it's very often a parent, it's probably somebody other than your parent that really came around you and really influenced you, and you looked up to that person even to this day. Who was that, and why were you attracted to that person? What was it about that person that attracted you and made that connection? Talk to me.
Pastor John Ashworth, and what attracted me is being able to see him live like Jesus would have him live. Being able to see that in his life, not just something he talked about, but how he really lived.
Yes. And that
Amen. Influenced him. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Yes, Pastor.
Pastor Billy Dean Randall, who loved me when I was very unlovely and really knew the Word of God and had patience with me.
Had patience with me. Isn't that attractive?
Oh, yes, sir.
I don't know about you, but there's some people that went out of their way and had patience with me. Those are the real deal. Okay, good. Yes, right here.
I was in a secular college, and there was a girl there who had Bible verses on her wall and memorized them, and I knew that she prayed. And that really is what attracted me to her.
So
then she got me into a good Bible preaching church.
Amen.
Was it the real deal that attracted you?
Yes.
It was not just on the wall, but she lived it out. That's what we're hearing over and over here, right? Now, does anybody else want to share? I don't want to leave anybody out.
The first person that really meant a lot to me was a lady, and she was a lady, Roma Streety. And she didn't ask questions. She just took me for who I was.
Yeah.
Didn't ask why or where I've been or what I've been doing. And it really meant a lot.
Yes, amen. And you never forgot her, did
no.
you?
No.
Amen.
Amen. She cared about the things that you cared about. And I think that's what a mentor does. One who comes alongside of us is one that cares about us and what our needs are. Anybody else? One more person. Yes, Pastor Hayden.
I have to. My family didn't go to church regularly. I didn't go to church regularly. But I did go to... I hung around. I didn't really attend, but I make in and out
yeah.
Visits. a youth group at an Evangelical United Brethren Church. They became the United Methodists. And he bought his own bus to take kids to Youth for Christ, it was back then, and other activities. And even when you ask that question, there's never been anybody strong like Brother Dale has spoken and these others I've spoken of. There's never been anybody that prominent. So when you ask that question, I realize, and I don't even remember his name. But I thought, yeah, he was a positive influence on me. Even though I was very intermittent with my involvement. And then I had two grandfathers, and one was a very godly one. Most people have two grandfathers. he was a godly man. And he was just always consistent, as you're saying.
Yeah.
This is what's happening. That is what he was.
Yeah, that is wonderful. Pat.
I didn't have anybody I would love to have, but I found my discipleship on the radio, Christian radio from a Mennonite group out of Virginia. It was on the home being a wife and a mother. I still have some of the materials from back when I was in my 20s. And her name was Elaine. I still appreciate
Ella Mae Miller. Wow. Yes.
I'm actually very blessed. When I was younger, it was my aunt. She took us to church on Sunday. And I always watched her read her Bible at night. So she was always there. And then when I came here, I had Miss Haynes and Miss Ruth Ann were both been mentors to me and helped me.
Amen. 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 I love how you're just bursting, wanting to talk about. Do you see the importance of mentoring and coming alongside of somebody? Yes. Who am I? Oh, right here. Yes. The pastor's wife. All right, well, let's keep going here. We had some other questions there, but there is an assumption today that going to church is all a person needs. And that assumption is wrong. It doesn't work. I fear that even in most churches, we've become so busy that we'll kind of come in and slide into the pew. We'll do our service, and when it's over, we'll jump back out, and away we go. And we miss out on the mentoring, the fellowship. And a couple of years ago, it began to bother me so much that I went to the ones in that I was close with in my home church, and I said, you know, maybe not every Sunday, but how about every other Sunday we have a fellowship meal? And when we have a fellowship meal, we not only bring food in, but we make it our goal to talk to each other and find out where we're at spiritually and where we're struggling, and then pray over each other. Not just every day shoot every which direction, but really make it a time of getting to know each other. And we're now 2 years into that, and it has been amazing to me how many we've invited the widowers and the widows and other people that don't have family. And it's sort of those are the ones that come, and they all kind of get together at the MAP building. And it's just been a tremendous blessing that way. And so when I think of this what we have, there's an assumption that going to church is all a person needs. It's not. There's so much more than just going to church. Number two, The church community typically focuses on making converts rather than making disciples. We spent so much time and so much effort because I think part of it is we get excited. You know, just like a mom and a dad, right? When they have a baby, there's excitement until you have to change the diapers and get up in the middle of the night and do all of those things. It's that initial birth that everybody talks about. And there's pictures all over Facebook, and you're calling moms and dads and you know, grandparents, and everybody's there, and it's exciting. And so in order to keep things excited, we love to talk about converts. And sometimes we'll actually fake it a little bit, particularly if we're Baptists. We'll fake it a little bit because there's something about having, you know, finishing the year out with about 100 converts, right? But discipleship is something other than convert. It's the part that many of us have missed because it's the part that you have to get down and dirty. As my pastor would say, you have to start changing diapers and you have to burp them and you have to stay up all night with them and you have to let them cry on your shoulder. These are grown men and women. But this is what is known as discipleship making. Mm-hmm. It's the part that we're missing, church. And I think it's partly because many of us have not been discipled, maybe the way we should have been. And it's partly because it's just not talked about a lot anymore. And so we don't really know how to disciple. We don't really know how to come alongside someone younger. And maybe we're in a position where we want to be discipled, and we don't really know how to come alongside of some and ask somebody to disciple us. But I'm here to tell you, church, it is so needed. It is so needed in our churches today. And it's not the pastor's job. I think that's maybe part of the problem. We got in this mindset that we're paying the pastor to do that work. But this is the work of the church. We'll keep going here. Number three, there is an attempt to develop teachers rather than disciplers. If you would you go to, well, no, we missed it. I was going to have you turn to Matthew 28, but you know this scripture. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And then he jumps right back in, teaching them. Now, the word teaching means discipling them, coming alongside of them, pouring your life into them. But then we get to number three, and I just want to say that if we were to turn to Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 11, we would learn that teaching is a gift. Not everybody can teach. Right. Now, I've sat under teachers that could really teach, right? And you walk away and you feel like you learned something. And then I've sat under, can I say, missionaries? And I thought, wow, how did he ever become a missionary? I didn't get anything out of that. And I have to be honest, I don't think they had the gift of teaching. It's maybe something they wanted to do. I'm not sure, and I'm not here to be the judge, but I kind of looked at my watch, and I'm hoping to get through this, you know? I'm not getting anything out of this. The bottom line, they don't have the gift of teaching, and if you don't have the gift of teaching, find out what your gift is and do that, but don't teach. So, teaching is a gift, but discipleship making is not a gift. That's different. We're all called to be witnesses. We're all called to be discipleship makers. And again, it doesn't require a gift. We must conclude that, well, pretty much said that. Number four. The practice of mentoring and discipleship is not being modeled by many older Christians. Now, let's go to the Bible, okay? Let's go to Titus chapter 2. Now, we're going to talk a little bit. I was a little confused back when we first started having our mentoring and discipleship one-day conferences or seminars, whatever you call them. What is the difference between mentoring and discipleship? And we're going to get to that. There is a difference. But I want to go to Titus chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 3, 4, and 5. Maybe someone could just stand up and kind of look around to everybody and read verse 3, Titus chapter 2, verse 3, 4, and 5.
The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed.
Thank you, Pastor Hain. Now, what I want us to see here, it starts out with verse 3, the aged women likewise. Now, he had just gotten done talking to the men. Now, he's moving to the women. And I think the reason I chose this is because he brings it out even more clear. This discipleship making becomes more clear from here on, but it's to the men and the women, okay? And this is what he's saying. You know, for the older women, think about this. The older women, Pat, you know, someone like you who has had so many experiences in life, and you have so much to give to the younger woman in the church. You see how that works? It's like, now not every young woman is open to that, and not every older woman is open to it, but when the two come together, it is amazing how much that young lady can learn and maybe miss the scars and the pain that the older woman went through, and maybe grow much faster. Someone like, for myself, I didn't go to college, but I had a pastor who loved me and took me under his wolf, under his arms, and to this day he thinks I'm his brother, and I have always had a little harder time seeing him as my brother. He's my pastor, but he'll text me every Sunday morning, just like he did this morning, has for years. Every Sunday morning, I pray for you. And then he'll go into, I consider it to serve the Lord with you. This is how he has helped me. And I tell you, he helped me to grow and go to levels that I couldn't have done on my own.
Oh, amen, sir.
But it was his discipleship making heart, his mentoring of coming alongside of me that helped me. And I have now learned from that and done the same for others. Like Samuel, for instance, you saw him here yesterday.
Yes, sir.
That man is a pot of gold.
Yes, sir.
And to have a small part in his life and in the part of discipleship making, seeing what God's doing with that is unbelievable.
Amen.
But here we see the older women to come around the younger women. And look at the very end there, verse number 5, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That's a pretty strong statement. Now, I'm not sure what that really means. I know what the word blaspheme means. And I know it's a very, very strong word. But to bring that into this context tells me that it is very important, church. We got to do it. Otherwise, Otherwise, the word of God might be blasphemed. Number five. Our churches are filled with people that do not really know what they believe. Yeah. Right? We know that. For those of us that are in church and they're involved in church, and everywhere I travel, pastors are oftentimes besides themselves and they don't know what to do. I'm convinced that this would be an area, if we could somehow, and this is why I wanted to do this conference, and I wasn't sure even what title to make it. I had thrown about six titles out there, and it was all kind of centered around this idea of this is our generation. We got to do it. We got to step up to the plate, and we got to make it happen, right? But then somebody told me the other day, just call it simply discipleship making. And I said, that's exactly what I wanted to say. And so I think it's sitting down and starting to process this. How do we teach other people? What do we do to get them involved in discipleship making? What can we say? Is there something that we can do to teach them that we haven't been? And how can we change this? But again, I believe if we go back to getting the average factory worker, the farmer, the housewife, the office worker, if we go back to teaching and helping them become discipleship makers, we will win. Right. We will win. And it's not just sitting in the classroom talking about it,
Yeah. But
it's actually putting it into action, doing something with it. We're so good about talking and talking about it,
right,
but then
Yeah. Yeah, actually
making it happen. I don't know. How can we do this, pastors? You know? I'm just thinking out loud. But I think it's the area that we're missing. And I think that if we just stop for a moment and we begin to talk about it and maybe just brainstorm and maybe just pray about it, and then something could come from that, and all of us could become discipleship makers. And let me tell you something. When I was a young Christian, for the first year or two, I would sit under pastor's teaching and go to Sunday school and be under Brother Jerry Yes's teaching. But then there came that point where I graduated from that level into becoming a teacher myself, and it was then that I started to learn like crazy.
Amen.
It was when I transitioned from that, from fitting in the classroom to actually doing it myself. And I will tell you, if you want your faith to grow and become strong, if you want to see God do some amazing work and have a better, more pure, stronger, healthier Christian life, then roll up your sleeves and go to work.
Yes.
I'm telling you,
Yes. It'll
change you. It'll make you a person that you will never be just sitting in the classroom listening to the teacher or the pastor.
That's good.
So, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles or the basic principles of the oracles of God, and you'll become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. Now, when I read that, this is no excuse, absolutely no excuse. But Paul had the same problem we're having today.
Yeah.
If he had not have, he wouldn't have wrote that.
That's right.
But he was struggling with the same thing, and the Holy Spirit had him write this out to remind us that too many of us are on the bottle. We need to advance. We need to start eating meat. And it's not going to happen unless we make it happen ourselves. George Barna's research suggests that the real mission field may not be in the heathen lands across the seas, but in America's churches right here at home.
Yes. Right. That's exactly right.
Number six, every Christian must look on himself as a link between two generations. Not only has he or she received the faith, but he or she must pass it on to the next generation. Do you see the importance of that? And this is exactly what we're going to talk about in the next service. So I can't preach on this. I want to. But this is so important. We are the link. We are the link between the previous generation and the next generation. This has been going on for about 2,000 years. It finally came to us. And somebody before us didn't drop it. They passed it on. And now it's in our court, right? And this is what discipleship making is all about. And I in the next service, I want to talk about how important it is and what others have gone through to make sure it didn't get dropped so it would get to us in 2019. Number seven, is there a difference between mentoring and discipleship? And that's what I want to talk about real quick here. What is mentoring and what is discipleship? We talked a little bit about mentoring yesterday because I come from a culture where I think mentoring was at its best. And so we're going to talk about this. But before we get into that, here's a picture of Jesus being the head, the cornerstone. Paul got saved, and he took three men, mostly Timothy and Titus, I believe, and he did exactly what we're talking about. He knew, and I'm sure he touched thousands and thousands of lives. But of the thousands of lives, and we could say the same about Jesus. Somebody recently said Jesus started out with 5,000 and went from 5,000 to 12, and from 12 to 3, and from 3 to 1. John was the only one at the cross, right? Is that how it was, I think? And so we know that that really, when it comes right down to it, there's only a few. And this is who Paul worked with, these three men. But then those men went out. And can you imagine if they each did three, and those three each did three, that is how it works. It is. I'm pretty sure that Paul didn't just have his eyes on these guys. I'm pretty sure he had his eyes on these guys and people beyond here. What you and I do today in this generation can have a ripple effect that go on long after we're dead and gone. I'm serious. It is amazing. You know, I'm listening to these CDs. Somebody wanted me to read this book, and I got the CDs instead. But this man was telling me, he said, or on the CD, he's saying how people die. They so badly want their name to be remembered after they're gone. And so they will give millions of dollars to a university or just to have a plaque put in the hallway with their name on it. And so they, you know, it's in us. We want to make a difference. We do not want to be forgotten. Let me tell you, one of the best ways to never be forgotten is to pour your life into somebody else.
Yeah, that's right.
And for that person then to take what you taught him or her into the next generation, and it keeps going.
Oh, I like
it. It doesn't stop. It's powerful. And we could change the world, Christians. We could. I believe we could. So, mentoring and discipleship. We got 3 minutes left. At what point in a person's life does the process of mentoring and discipleship begin? So I think some of this is missing. Yeah. So we didn't talk about mentoring, but mentoring focuses on skills, knowledge, and character development of leaders. Okay, mentoring is more centered around developing leaders, coming alongside of them and helping them become more than they could have on their own. We're doing that throughout our store. We have these young women that we are empowering. I told Katie this week, we need to hire somebody. And I said, I want you to call the people, set up the interview. Esther and I will be there with you, but I want you to take the lead. She's 22 years old. I'm excited. She wants to be a manager, and I think she will be. But that's the mentoring that we're doing. And you have to realize that Katie came in from Missouri. She got saved. She's got baptized after Esther and I discipled her, and now she's the assistant manager of our store and will be the manager probably within the next year. What is discipleship? It focuses on obedience to Jesus Christ. Discipleship is all about reproducing myself in the life of another one. Discipleship is opening up the Word of God and teaching one-on-one. I mentioned yesterday, we have four that meet with us every week. Two couples. And just recently we did the lesson on baptism, and all four of them want to be baptized on Easter. And this is what excites me. This is discipleship making. One of them, his name is Eli, feels like the Lord's calling him to become a missionary. And so not only do I want to disciple him, but I want to be able to say, Eli, let's see about going on a missions trip, and let's figure out how we can help you raise the funds. That's mentoring, the mentoring part, and it kind of mixes in with the discipleship part and helping them go, because that's how I learned, that's how you learned, is by seeing other missionaries come and go and learning how that all works. Let's see if we can, at what point in a person's life does the process of mentoring and discipleship begin? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It begins immediately. And so my time is up, and I hope if anything, you will catch a little bit of fire, and you will go with somebody and disciple them, right? Amen. And that's all I have, Pastor. I'll let you guys.